He brought you from the land of Egypt, and he brought you across the sea, which could have encompassed and enfolded you, and he brought you dry. And he established your heart in faith, and he said, my God shall bring me forth on dry land, and I shall walk before him. You learned your way in the wilderness. And again comes the time when you cross, even as it were, Jordan, and become the pursuer of the things in your life and the enemies in the land. And again you came across dry shod and said, my God shall take me across dry shod, and I shall not perish in the way. But as you walk the way of your way in the world and in this life, and you put your feet upon a stream that stands before you, and you feel the swirling of the tide, and you struggle against that swirling and say, where is my God that has brought me dry shod? He brought me before dry shod, and yet I feel encompassed by the things of this world. I feel it swirling upon my soul, and yea, I shall be drowned. I shall not stand in this hour, though I have in time past stood, and my God has stood me well. The Lord would counsel thee to know that the streams he would have thee walk in are the streams of life. Yea, and if thou wilt walk in them beyond the thigh, the swirling of the stream shall swirl thee into God. Thou shalt swim and relax and know thy God shall uphold thee, for the waters of life shall be thy sustenance. Yea, thou shalt rejoice in thy God. Yea, the water shall encompass and enfold and enfold and enfold thee. And thou shalt relax in thy God. In his presence, the stream of life shall flow in thee and through thee. And thou shalt water a thirsty ground.
Yes, what's with thee? Word. Lord, we right now, Lord, we remember, Lord, the word going forth in Sacramento, Lord. We know that nothing is done except by your Spirit. Lord, we're doing what you told us to do, Lord. And we feel that this outreach was of you, Lord. The money was there, Lord, and if it comes in, we'll keep going. And if not, Lord, assuredly we will take it from you that you are not moving in this direction. So, Lord, we just leave it in your hands. But, Lord, we do pray today, Lord, you will move on people that you want to hear it. Lord, just guide them to it, the people, Lord, that should be hearing about the kingdom of God in that area. We pray, Lord, that you will do the whole thing by your Spirit. We're trusting in you. We trust in nothing else, Lord, but by your Spirit, not our ability to sell or anything else, Lord, just what you want. And we've gone as far as we can, Lord, so the rest is up to you. We praise you for it. Lord, we come unto you and praise you for the blood of the cross, Lord, that makes it possible for us to be saved, that by your stripes we were healed, Lord. This time of the year, many of the families need healing, Lord, and we pray that it will be coming from the cross, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. We trust you, Lord. We thank you for dying for every man. Person in the world. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who's in control of this world. No one else. No one else, Jesus. You're in control, Lord. We pray for each family here, Lord. There'll be health. There will be salvation. There'll be holiness. There'll be strength. All that is needed, Lord, to work godliness in the kingdom of God will be available to the families and loved ones of the people here, Lord. Break every yoke. We pray you'll forgive us our many sins as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that we'll be not hearers only, but doers of the word. And we're conscious, Lord, of the prophecies, and we do want to trust God and fear God and be pleasing to you, Lord. We have no intention of doing anything in this world except your will. So, God, help us so that we'll be successful in our endeavor to do your will. We'll be careful to lift up your wonderful name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. While we're preaching and listening, we'll be preparing our hearts for the communion. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Some are on the way now to memorizing this passage by sure virtue of repetition. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. we go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, from this passage, there's a couple of things that stand out. First of all, that judgment has begun. Now, I would say that judgment began when the Holy Spirit fell in tongues of fire. Now, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not come down as a dove, but he came down as tongues of fire, representing judgment. And I would say that the judgment of the world began at that time. But the judgment begins with God's people. That is God's way. Just like when you discipline your children, you don't discipline your relatives' children, you discipline your own. And God's judgment begins with those who are closest at him. Now let me distinguish here something. Judgment does not mean condemnation. Judgment merely means the separating of that which is pleasing to God from that which is not pleasing to God. The identifying of it to begin with, and the separation of it in action. Condemnation comes when you know God's will and you don't do it. That's the difference. Condemnation is the aura of guilt that hangs on someone who knows God's will and who is not doing it. Whether knowing you should accept Christ and then not doing that, or after you're a Christian knowing something you should do and not doing it, or doing something you know you shouldn't do, then you come under condemnation. So we're not talking about anything that's going to hurt you necessarily when we're talking about judgment. We're not talking about you're going to get hit alongside the head. We're talking about something that is needed in the Church of Jesus Christ today, probably worse than anything else, and in the world at large. But the world is not privileged to have judgment at this time. The world wanders in darkness without judgment, unjudged and in darkness and ignorance. They don't know up from down. The church is supposed to know up from down, but it doesn't, as we've spoken previously, because of a misunderstanding of this, of the sentence, the just shall live by faith. Because of a misunderstanding of that, the church today is without judgment. But that is without a knowledge of what is good and what is evil. Now, judgment begins with the house of God. The idea that the Christian is not judged is false, but that's not what we're going into this morning. We just want to talk about judgment itself and assume that Christians are judged, because that's what it says. You notice that the judgment has begun already. 2,000 years ago, Peter said, the time has come. So we're not, look, we as Christians are not looking forward primarily to future judgment. There will be a future judgment on us, depending on the extent to which we are willing to let God judge us now. We can get our judgment out of the way if we want to. So we notice that in here. The time has come, and that it comes on Christians. Remember, we're not talking about condemnation. We're talking about God's visitation, so that you can know what is right and what is wrong. All right? The next thing I want to make mention of is that it comes as suffering. See, this passage starts off with suffering. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. And then when it concludes in suffering. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. So, the judgment of God on you takes the form of a chastening of your flesh. Now you say, you just said that it's not condemnation. No, it isn't. It isn't condemnation. It is a dealing of Christ with you to make you holy and obedient to God. See, we've gotten off in evangelical circles preaching that Christians do not suffer, they're not judged, everything is wrong. And it's wrecked the church. The Christian does suffer. And he will suffer. And the further we get on with God, and the more possibility God sees in our personality for his glory and for fruitfulness, the more he prunes. The more he deals with us. The stricter he deals with us, the closer you get to God. My point is this. Because you're suffering, and you will suffer, our nation is going to suffer judgment in the days to come. And when it comes, just remember, that isn't the end of the world because you're not happy. It is necessary. It is necessary for your salvation. It is God's way of saving us from ourselves and from the devil and from the world. That's the way God does. When we accept Christ, he lifts from us the condemnation that's on the world. That's why he says, he that believes in me is not condemned or is not judged. See, he lifts that. But then he himself takes charge of us. And he begins to judge us and chasten us and cleanse us. So the things that we suffer are not the devil. God may use the devil. But you don't make the mistake of going around rebuking the devil all the time. The Bible doesn't say rebuke the devil. It says resist the devil. If people would resist the devil instead of rebuking the devil, they'd get farther. You see, we're tempted to sin and we sin. That's where we go wrong. Then we get the consequences, the devil. And then we go rebuking the devil. Well, the reason we have him is because we didn't resist him. If you resist him in the beginning, you won't have to rebuke him. Nothing the devil likes better. You get God's people all chasing him around. He interprets it as worship and attention. But he doesn't interpret resisting as worship and attention. He interprets that correctly and he flees. And the chastening helps us so beautifully. We don't like it. But it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness when we are chastened. So get set. Now, notice also another factor in this passage. It says the righteous are scarcely saved. Literally, the righteous are saved with difficulty. Now, what do you say? How can that be? Isn't Christ adequate? What does it mean? The righteous scarcely are saved. You just make it in skinny. I thought we were saved abundantly. Well, that isn't what the Bible says. It says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because our way is fraught with peril. It's fraught with temptation. It's fraught with mistakes and all kinds of things. And if we walk without prayer, without caution, without fear and trembling, in a presumptuous attitude, thinking God's on our side no matter what we do, and hi-hi, and I can't miss it, we're out of the Bible. That's current teaching, tradition. It's not Bible. Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's found in Philippians 2:12. Matthew 7:14 says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 10:22 says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. 2 Peter 1:11 speaks about an abundant entrance. And what 2 Peter is talking about, if you add diligence and self-control and holiness and righteousness and everything, then you'll have an abundant entrance to the kingdom. You see? We don't enter the kingdom saying, oh, it's Jesus is wonderful, and He is wonderful. But that isn't the way. That isn't what the Lord wants. That's calling Him Lord, Lord, not doing what He says. Once we're saved, we start on a holy pathway. 2 Peter calls it the way of righteousness. It's a way of holiness. It's a way of obedience to God. And that's what brings us into the kingdom. And the reason that sufferings come upon us is because God is hedging us in. God is teaching us, working us in. We don't like it. It's not pleasant. It's grievous. Is any afflicted, what is it say to do? Pray, pray, pray. Is any afflicted, let him pray. If you're merry, don't go bananas. Sing psalms. See? Is any merry? That isn't the time to let down your spiritual guard. That's the time to sing hymns. The better you feel, the more hymns you sing. And when you're afflicted, pray. When you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Say, I don't know the difference. Well, you have to pray to know the difference. And it's up to the elders, too, to know the difference. So we all got our work cut out for us. All right, now, judgment begins at the household of God. Isn't that lovely? Yes, it is. All right, now, Isaiah 33. This is the gospel already. It is. It comes out in the. It comes out right. There's a book, a title I notice in shopping in Vons. I look at the bookstore. I never buy them, but I look at the covers on the rack there. Someone wrote a book called Nobody Said You'd Be Ahead at the Half. I like that. Nobody said you'd be ahead at the half. That's all right. It's the last whistle. That's it, huh? Maybe you feel like you're hopeless. No, you're not hopeless. That's God teaching you court etiquette. All right. Isaiah 33, to start with verse 14. This is talking about judgment in the house of God. The sinners are in Zion are afraid. They're scared stiff. You know why? Because God came. And it's not talking about the world. Those people here, there, or the other place. I have to watch. I can't use names and particulars anymore because Jim Streeter has to edit them all out of the tape. So because I said, don't let me come off with anything that's going to offend anybody. Keep it general. But let me just put it this way. God is not interested today. Well, He's interested, but He's not lowering the boom on the unsaved people. You know, we read the paper and we snort and we say, look at what they did today. Well, what do you expect them to do? A dog barks because he's a dog. And a sinner sins because he's a sinner. Where God is interested in is His people. Judgment must begin with the household of God. We'd love to throw it off in the world and say, aren't we cute, we Christians? Half the time, all we're interpreting as persecution is two things. One, the world chastening us because we are con artists. And the rest is God using the world to chasten us because we're con artists. And most of the persecution that comes on us, we well deserve. I hope that gets up there on the radio, too. Well deserved. No, it is. We have to have TV shows now to point out to us the error of our ways. You say, oh, we're being persecuted. No, the world is sick and tired of the sin, the self-seeking, the covetousness. And they have a right to be because it's wrong and sinful. And it's we're the ones standing in the need of prayer, not some poor unsaved person that's wondering when. Where is God? Because He sure isn't in the Christian church. The sinners in Zion are afraid. They're scared. Why? Because the Lord came. And they thought it was going to be a piece of cake. They thought the Lord was going to come walking in His robe and His sandals and pat them all on the head and tell them how wonderful it is. Now it's time for our boxed social. And instead they came face to face with a lion. One whose eyes burn with fire. They're not baby blue. They're ovens, furnaces of fire. And He looks through the hypocrisy. He looks through the sin. He looks through the pootser stuff we do. Call it religion. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites, the people who are not what they're supposed to be. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Well, I thought that's the God of the Old Testament. He died. No, he didn't die. He never changed. How many know that? He never changed. I thought he changed. He went to college and got educated. Now he's more humanitarian. The reason that God's dealings change is because he put the judgment on Jesus. And Jesus hung on the cross in an agony that no man ever should have had to know, like an animal in the slaughterhouse, crying out, my God," as every part of his personality was roasted. That was a man there. Not a silver figurine on a stick. That was a 33-year-old man hanging there and bearing the agonies of hell. That's the only reason that God can deal with us like he does. God hasn't changed. It's because he took what belongs on sinners and put it on Jesus. And Jesus paid that price, beaten to a pulp, hung on the cross, died by dehydration and suffocation, and then descended into Hades. That's why we can approach God, not because God has changed. It's because of what happened to Jesus. And Peter says, as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. And we have this crazy stuff that goes around, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's not the Bible concept. The Bible concept is that Christ bore his cross, and we take up our cross, and we walk in that blood-stained way. He says, I've overcome, now it's your turn. That's right, brother. And we have our own roasting to do. And God doesn't want any cakes half-turned. We have our times when we're fried through to the last kernel. Not for anyone else's salvation, just because humanity has come through 6,000 years of rebellion and sin. And it takes that to get the self and the sin out of us. You can make it, but not if you're a baby Christian. God isn't going to put anything like this on you. Step by step, as you're able to bear it, as you want to bear it, as you're willing to bear it. And if you're willing to go all the way with God, God will go all the way with you. And it'll be you that draws the line, not God. You can have all you want if you can stand the pruning. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Jesus is coming, saints, but he's not coming cute. He's coming as a devouring fire. Who shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously. But Brother Thompson, this doesn't count anymore. We're under grace now. Oh, how did that error get in? Where did it come from? Grace is not a means of evading Isaiah 33. This very judgment I'm telling you about is God's grace. That's what God's grace is. It's that's given to us so that we won't be condemned with the world. It's the real stuff. It's not, I don't have to walk righteously now. It doesn't matter because Jesus did it. That's wrong. It's not God. It's not Bible. This was true then, and it's true now. The difference is we're under a greater responsibility because we have God's grace. We have the sacrifice of Calvary. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the born-again experience. These people didn't have that, and God required that of them. Then what does he require of us? God's grace is all that God has given from heaven so that we can be in the image of Jesus. That's what grace is. And when God comes down and judges you for your sin and says, well, now this person can do better than that, I'll just help them along and mellow them out a little bit. They're not mellow at this point. I'll mellow them out a little bit. Brother, sister, that's the grace of God. That's not the blessing of Satan. That's the grace of God come to make you in his image, to bring you into peace. Isn't that grace? You say, well, where does the undeserved favor come in? That's God's undeserved favor. You didn't deserve it. You deserve to be condemned with the world. And God's undeserved favor came to you and to me. Picked me up when I was a heathen. I wasn't raised in church, running around the woods like a squirrel. My mother in a false religion. My father with his own religion that comes with a cork in it. God rest his soul, I believe he's saved. I'm trying to get something across. This isn't religious patty cake. God came to me when I was a heathen. That's grace. Revealed himself to me. That's grace. For the last nearly 40 years, he's been judging me good. That's more grace. If you don't, you know it was grace. If you had a deal with me 40 years ago, you'd know it was grace. Something happened. God, that's God's goodness. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. Is there anything we can do to earn it? No. But I'm talking about what we've got to do is go with it. You can't accept Christ. Say, oh, you laid down your life for me. He didn't lay down his life for you so you can go free. He laid down his life for you so that you can live unto him. Listen, he died so that we could live unto him. Our life is forfeit because he died. Therefore, he bought us with his own blood. We live unto him. We don't live unto ourselves. Praise the Lord. He died to make us to belong to him, to serve him, to be married to him. We're divorced from the law of Moses. Not so that we can go our own way, but so that we can be married to Jesus. That's a big difference there. You say we died to the law of Moses. Good, we're not under the law anymore. That's what it says. It says we died to the law of Moses so that we might be married unto him and bring forth fruit unto God. We've got people caught in the middle. They think they're out of the law of Moses, but they're not married to Jesus. They're hollering, grace, grace. It's false religion. It's not God. They're not bringing forth the fruit of holiness. Jesus said if a branch doesn't bear fruit, he does what? Cuts it out of the vine. See, not only the branches are pruned, the vine itself is pruned. Praise the Lord. You want to be a Christian? This is the way. This is the true God and eternal life. 33:15. Who's going to walk there? He that walketh righteously. That was true in Isaiah's day, is true today. How many know that? You can't come into God's presence in a you've lied to your neighbor, you've been abusive, you're a cruel, self-centered, lustful person. You're going to come into the presence of the holy God and talk about his grace. God said, did you never read Titus? The grace of God that has appeared teaching us that denying ungodly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Teaching, grace teaches us. He that speaks uprightly, do you speak uprightly? If you lie, you're not of God. You know where liars go? How many know where liars go? The lake of fire. How about lying Christians? They go there in the same place. That's right. God doesn't make the distinction. God's looking for your behavior. Is your Christianity doing any good? But it's all right if I lie to the government. Listen, come April 15th, you better tell the truth. I mean, I'm nothing but the truth. You're liable to find yourself behind bars. You got any idea how many Christians have ended up in jail? You know why? Because they thought they were saved by grace. 80 miles an hour, the fish swim up the freeway. And those people persecute them. They stop them. Can you imagine that, stopping a Christian not knowing he's saved by grace? Not under law. Say, where are you going? You know, you remember the county fire department? Where's your badge? No, officer, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to church. I heard of one fella. He wouldn't put a fish on the back of his car. You know why? Because he broke the speed limit and loved it. At least he had the whatever to realize that what he was doing was inconsistent with the Christian testimony. Now, how'd I get into that? Any speeders in here? You know, the IRS is not impressed. How many know that? They just soon put you in the pokey as anybody else. Tell the truth. Huh? There's nothing wrong with that. Speak up rightly to everybody. Say, but you have to lie to be in business. No, you don't. You have to lie to get in jail, but not to be in business. He that despises the gain of oppressions. I will not ask for money on the radio. You know why? Because some little old lady will send me her life savings. That's right. Older people are impressionable. You know why these billions roll in? Millions, I guess, not billions, millions roll in. people are making appeals over TV. Do you know why? Because the older people are susceptible. They're easily persuaded. And you can talk to an older person and talk them right out of every cent they've got. Just tell them God loves you and God needs this money and God will bless you and all this. And the older people, something happens to them. They seem to lose their, their moxie or whatever it is. And it's become simple like a child. And they can be talked right out of their money. All you've got to do is make a big pitch on the radio. Some widow will send you money. She has no business sending you. I'm not going to have that. You know what that is? That's the gain of oppression. How many know that's the gain of oppression? Harvey, coming to older people or younger people or anybody else and taking out money that they need is the gain of oppression. It's not God. It's not God. And God will judge it one of these days. Say, oh, I did this and that and all these people got saved. Well, that's good, but you disqualified yourself. Depart into outer darkness. The gain of oppressions. God hates it. Better to have a little small amount of money, small doings and righteousness, than to have the money rolling in and do it wrong. It says that in Proverbs. That shakes his hand from holding of bribes. He can't. What God, I believe God wants to raise up in our nation, people that will tell people what they're supposed to hear. You get people that got $1 million in the congregation, and then I don't like the idea of borrowing money from God's people to do anything in the church. No interest or what? There's an implicit bondage there. I'm leery of that. They hold a $10,000 demand note. You better be careful how you preach. Boy, I don't want to get close to that. I don't want anything to do with that, brother, in the day when I'm not free to say what I feel should be said to whomever. That's bribery. See? Talk nice, preacher. We'll get a new one. No, my attitude is, when you're ready for one, get one. Hallelujah. That I will not be a hireling for anyone. I'm here because I'm doing God's will and I love to do it. Praise the Lord. This church has been very supportive of me. I have no complaints. That's bribery, saints. All right? The shake of his hand that stops his ears from hearing of blood. How many people pick up the telephone? Do you know what I heard about her? The minute you hear that, hang up. So I don't want to hear about it. Stop your ears from hearing of blood. Did you hear what that one did? You hear what the next one did? Stop your ears from hearing of blood. Stop it. That's judgment. God will bring judgment on you. You get an earache. That's right. You'll let sickness, depression, gloom, doubt, fear, and dread into your home because you listen to garbage. Stop it. Hang up. You say they'll be offended. Better that than the both of you go to hell. Hang up. You don't need to listen to gossip. How many knew you don't have to listen to gossip? Yeah, I know. You want to hear the next sentence. You don't have to hear the next sentence. Hang up and wonder about it. Wonder what they did. Huh? Or better yet, pray for them. They probably never did it in the first place. All right. Shut your eyes from seeing evil. All right. When you're watching the television, you watch the news and all these things, you say, everything's going wrong. Where am I? And you lost the victory. You know, nobody said you had to watch it. You don't have to watch the news or listen to it. It'll go on. You all one thing. I tell you what the news is going to be tomorrow. Bad. Hey, you don't have to pay $600, you know, to find that out. It's going to be bad. So all you got to do is pray and fill your mind and your ears and your heart with good things. It'll give you strength in the night seasons. You'll sleep like a baby. Don't be worried about the communists. That's not our problem. Our problem is the Lord, not the communists. Communists isn't the consuming fire that scared the sinners in Zion. It's the Lord. If we make Jesus our problem, we have no other problems. Just let Jesus be your problem, and you won't have any other problems. Sanctify the Lord God, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. You don't have to dread anything else. Praise the Lord. That's all right. We'll get there. He shall dwell on high. How high? As high as you want to go. And the cleaner your life gets, the higher you go. Pretty soon you'll be walking way up there with the Lord. He shall dwell on high. That's the way we keep ourselves down here on terra firma. Afraid to die, afraid to live, afraid to go to sleep at night. It's us. It's our choice whether we dwell here on higher ground. The only way you can get up on higher ground is these things. Walk righteously. Speak uprightly. Shake your hands from holding your bribes. Despise the gain of oppression. Keep your eyes clean, your ears clean. You begin to go up. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. In those days, a high place where you had plenty of rocks was impregnable. You could roll them on people. You could sling them out of slings. Throw them. You can't get near a man in a high place with a munition of rocks. Of course, now you can, which you couldn't then. And of course, nowadays it's different, but what God is saying is you will be impregnable. Impregnable. The enemy can't get at you because you're righteous. Righteousness does that. Righteousness. Judgment brings us to righteousness, you see. Teach us to separate the precious from the vile. Bread shall be given him. You won't have to worry about famine. The Bible says bread shall be given him. God won't let a righteous man perish. If he has to feed you by a miracle, he'll feed you by a miracle. Not on the basis of your having faith. On the basis of being righteous. We got it mixed up. I don't think we know what faith is. I think we think faith is magic. I think it's becoming metaphysical. I think it's getting on a metaphysical definition. If I just have faith, I can have this. I have money, I can have food, I can have all that. Beware, beware, beware. These things do not come through faith. They come through righteousness. God will bless you and heal you if you don't even get prayed for many times. If you walk in righteousness. God loves the righteous. Righteousness. We say it's all by faith. Yes, it is. Righteousness is a form of faith. Can you think of a better expression of faith than righteous living? But this magic we're practicing and presumption only builds self. It doesn't kill it. It just strengthens ourself. What God's after is righteous. If you're righteous, God will answer a lot of prayers you didn't even ask because He loves you. Because He loves righteousness. The Lord loves righteousness. I, the Lord, love righteousness. He loves it. He'll love you if you do righteous. He'll heal you. He'll help you. He'll bless you. He'll feed you. That's what it says. You say, but the just shall live by faith. That's the New Testament. Oh, nonsense. That's an Old Testament verse. Habakkuk 2:4. That's right. You say, well, it wasn't true then. Well, if it wasn't, how come Habakkuk said it? That nobody ever lived. Nobody ever pleased God by any other means than faith. You read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find all those guys were Old Testament. They all pleased God by faith, didn't they? 11th chapter of Hebrews, the biggest book of works in the Bible. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Faith chapter, nothing but works. And Old Testament at that. They're all living by faith. Consider Abel, consider Noah, consider Abraham. How they pleased God by faith. That's what it says. I didn't make it up. But we got something different today. Yeah, what is it? It's kind of elusive. Can't quite get at it. Whatever it is, it isn't working. What is faith? Thine eyes shall see, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see, yeah, you won't run out of spiritual spizz. You'll have a fountain going there. Because the righteous Lord loves righteousness. He loves judgment. A just weight is his delight. God loves the truth. Much more than a lot of fancy church doings. Your waters will be sure. See, how come I'm drying up? I don't feel spiritual anymore. Well, practice righteousness. Your water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. You'll see Jesus. How many know that spiritual sight is related to righteousness? Remember 2 Peter? It mentions temperance and self-control and holiness and virtues of all kinds. Then it says, he that lacketh these things is blind. Blind. Sight is in direct ratio to godliness. You begin to see Jesus. I've set the Lord before me. He's always at my right hand that I should not be moved. Blessed are the pure in heart. And they see God. But when that heart has this gain of oppression, that other thing, you can't see God. When your heart is pure, you see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Then I shall see the king. They shall behold the land that is very far off. And brother, sister, God wants us to walk that way today. He doesn't want us bowed down with our IRA accounts. All in this world. What we're going to get out of this world. How we're going to use Christ to aid and abet our plans. No way. And what does God do in His grace? He sends us a wonderful blessing called judgment. And what does it do? It helps us to separate the precious from the vile. So we say, oh, I can't do the gain of oppression. Well, everyone else is doing it. No, but God has sent you judgment so that you can say, oh, this is wrong. To rob the widows for the gospel, quote, unquote, is wrong. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. The world wants to see a church that knows right from wrong. And our doctrine has deprived us of the knowledge of right and wrong. And so it goes on, and everybody says, well, it's wrong, you know what they're doing now, you know what they're doing now. But no one's saying what's right. Well, it's time to realize that begging the world for money is wrong. And cheating in the name of Jesus is wrong. And adultery is wrong whether the people are Christians or not. And leaving your wife or your husband to go get married to somebody in gospel work so you can go around cutting records is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Dirtiness is wrong. Celebration in the bedroom for Christian people. It's wrong. It's lascivious. It's salacious. Right and wrong. Judgment. The distinction between what is right and what is wrong. And the way God brings that is with suffering. Because when we suffer, before I was afflicted, I went astray. When we suffer, we learn the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Praise the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 11, we're getting ready for the communion now, preparing our hearts for the communion. And maybe the ushers could be bringing in the children. I just want to drop a word in your heart here. Because the communion is a judgment. 1 Corinthians 11. Starting with verse 29. Rick Bellamy's been asking me to read this for the last 3 years. The church where he was, every time they had the communion, they read this. And I said, my preaching is heavy enough without adding this in the communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. 1 Corinthians 11:28. What are you looking for? You're looking to see what your behavior, in the context of this, your attitude towards your brethren. Some are hungry, others are drunk. And he says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. For he that eats and drinks unworthily. Well, what's eating and drinking unworthily? Well, yeah, it's eating and drinking with sin in your heart. Hatred. Unforgiveness, lying, gossip, stealing, sorcery, filthiness. How are you going to sit and tell a dirty joke, take the communion, and go out and tell another dirty joke? People do that. They don't fear God. He drinks on himself judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Some are sick and some die. You know what from? Taking the communion. It judged them. I thought Christians aren't judged. Well, now you know better. Right? Bible can't be wrong. The communion becomes judgment. God always is judging us. Christ always is judging us because we are His children. Judgment must begin in the house of God. So if you take the communion and your heart isn't right, the elements make you sick. They judge you. And some have died. That's what Paul says. Some have died already because they took the communion. And their hearts weren't right. It tells you what to do. It says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We want to judge ourselves this morning and not get frantic and nervous and neurotic and anxious and introspective. But just say, Lord, am I living the Christian life or am I trying to live with one foot in the world and the other foot in God? That's all. That's all. You know whether you're living for Christ or not. If you have any doubts about it, ask your neighbor, especially if she's unsaved. She'll tell you. The unsaved people know whether we're cutting it or not. We're the ones that deceive ourselves. Ask your friends. Say, ask all your friends at school. Say, am I a real Christian? If we would judge ourselves. Judge ourselves. Ask yourself. Say, how are you doing, self? Are you doing right or wrong? If you don't start doing right, no more meals. I will not put another meal in you unless you repent. That's the way to talk to your body. It'll straighten up in a hurry because it's more of a glutton than anything else. But when we are judged, we are chastened. How lovely. We are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. See, we're not under condemnation, but we are under judgment. And when we are judged, God doesn't want to bring us under condemnation, so He chastens us. So the next time you suffer, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's this all about? It may not be your lack of faith. Maybe your lack of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Well, you need to take a minute now. Some may need to take 3/4 of an hour, but we've only got a couple minutes before the communion elements come. Let's make it right with God. Lord Jesus. Lord, a heavy word this morning, Lord. But you're laying on our hearts to charge your people straightly, to teach them, to help them, Lord, concerning the judgment which is to come. And Lord, we would not that anyone in this congregation be condemned with the world. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know when we take in faith the elements of the communion table, that we are taking into ourselves that which will discern and evaluate our conduct. And Lord, we are not interested in being condemned with the world. Lord, we are interested in running to judgment, in knowing where our lives come short, in knowing, Lord, if there's anything, any wicked way in us. And Lord, we pray your people will have peace. You said there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But Lord, if there's anyone in here and that person has hatred in their heart, we pray they'll take serious stock, remembering that no murderer has eternal life. Lord, if there's anyone in here professes the name of Jesus and is contemplating adultery or fornication or lying or stealing, that they will realize that this is sin, and God will judge it as sin. And being a Christian does not remove it from being sin. It is sin. And it must be confessed as sin and repented of. Lord, look and see if our hearts are clean from the filthiness, the moral filthiness in which our nation is immersed. Lord, check our hearts and minds to see if we are in moral filthiness, if our speech is clean and saintly and holy, or if it is gross and vulgar and flippant. Lord God, Lord, if there's anyone in here afflicted with gossip, they've become a garbage can. Lord, we pray that you'll give the resolution right now that there be no more of it, Lord. If there are any here that's worried about the world condition, Lord, we pray there'll be a peace this morning. To realize that God is in control of this world. Its food, its water, the people, everything. Hallelujah, Lord. We're not afraid of the world. We're not afraid of the communists, Lord, but we do fear God. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Oh, Lord, let every heart in this room be cleansed this morning, Lord. Cleansed and bathed in your precious blood, Lord. Filled with a holy desire to seek God. Lord, we would see the King in His beauty, the land that is very far off. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Judge us, Lord. Try us. Try us. See if there be in us any wicked way. Try our reins. Try our hearts, Lord. Try our works, Lord, to see if they're perfect in God's sight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We would not come short of your glory, Lord. your righteous requirements, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Avaraka Hasilia. Anyone in here this morning that is not saved, that needs to get saved, like to accept Christ now? You could take the communion if you do. Receive Christ in a moment of time. Anyone here has never received Jesus and you'd like to receive Him and receive the communion? Have that wonderful communion with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You've never received Jesus as your Savior. You'd like to right now tell God that you'd like to be a Christian. You want to be right in His sight. Is there anyone in here that's wrong in God's sight? You know it. You'd like to make it right now. Maybe you were a Christian when you were a little person, a little boy or girl, and you'd like to renew that this morning. You feel you're not living as a Christian. You'd like to come this morning before the communion. Make it right with God. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Think well. The days are perilous. Days are perilous. You don't want to go and meet Jesus and not have your heart right. Not have your heart right. Your mother or father cannot do it for you. You will stand before God without your parents, with no one except yourself and your conduct. Is there anyone here you need to make it right and you know it? Your life is not right with God. Praise your name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you are, I'd like you to step out and come up here to the front so I can pray with you, and then we're going to go on with the communion. We'll serve you here. Up here with me. We'll take communion together, just you and me. Anyone here that your heart is not right with God this morning? You? All right, come up. Are there any others? Are there any others? We'll just take communion up here with us. All right, brother, if you'd like to just kneel down there, and sister, and we'll take our communion together up here. Are there any others? Any others? Your heart is not right in God's sight, and you know it, and you want to get back on the track this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, search the hearts, Lord. Search the hearts, Lord. Is there anyone that we're missing? It's not right with God. You're not right with God. And you need to be today. Anyone? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not right with Jesus. And if you were to die this afternoon and stand before Him, your heart is not right. It's not right with God. You have not your peace with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. All right, I'll ask the ushers to come forward then and prepare the elements. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter, and He sets me free. I will shout hallelujah. I will shout hallelujah. Jesus breaks every fetter.
sinner, Jesus breaks every fetter, and he sets me free. I will shout hallelujah, I will shout
too late. If there's someone in the congregation and your heart is not right with God, we're going to have communion up here at the altar this morning. Just those that want to make it right with God this morning and myself. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Don't leave this building if your heart is not right. You will sooner or later be standing before Jesus to give an account of your behavior in the earth. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Yes, Lord. If there's anyone you haven't forgiven, let it go now. Don't take a communion in this element, this environment, this morning, with anything in your heart toward anyone but peace. The person may have hurt you badly. Let it go. They've probably suffered enough. Just let it go. Let them go. Forgive them in the name of Jesus. If you're planning to do anything wrong, make it right with God. Got to make restitution, God will help you and give you wisdom. I want to be right in his sight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul, you get the elements for yourself, and then I'm going to have you come up here and lead the congregation, because I'm going to take it with these people down here. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Paul, come over on this side with us, Paul Jarvis. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
On the Lord here this morning. We're coming before the throne of grace boldly, that we might find grace and mercy to help in time of need. We want to make this a time where we open our heart to the Lord, that he might search it, that we might take whatever he points out as an issue between us and himself, that we might confess it, that we might give it to him, that he might cleanse it with his precious blood. Hallelujah. 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 Shall we hold the bread together? The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Shall we hold this element to the Lord? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we remember your broken body, Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah, Lord. Your body was broken so that we might have life, Lord.
Yes.
And we now look unto you, Lord, that we might be made whole, Lord, that we might not ourselves receive the guilt and shame of our sins, Lord, but that we might remember you, Lord, that you took it upon yourself. We thank you, Lord, that there is redemption in your broken body, Lord, that we might feed upon it, Lord, that the life that you had in yourself, that we might have in us too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we remember you, Lord, that you have caused life to be extended toward us, to those who believe. Now we pray, Father, that if there be any issue between us and you, Lord, that you would point it out by your most Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would reprove and rebuke, and that you would exhort, Lord, and that you would lift us up, Lord, that we might turn aside, Lord, from the weak and beggarly elements of this world, and that we might walk after you in righteousness, Lord. And the things which we have done, Lord, which are not pleasing to your sight, Lord, we declare that we do them no more, as you grant us grace and strength, Lord, that we might walk before you pure, Lord, and holy and upright, that we need not be ashamed, Lord, but that this broken bread might be life unto us and strength to us, Lord, that it might nourish us, that we might have the strength and grace and mercy, Lord, to walk in a way which pleases you. This we do in remembrance of you. Shall we partake together? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall show the Lord's death till he come." Let's offer it up before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we remember the cost, the terrible price that you paid on behalf of our sins, Lord. Your blood was shed, Lord. It flowed from your veins, O Lord. Not for any sin that you had done, Lord, but for our behalf, O God. You poured yourself out even unto death, Lord, and even unto the death of the cross for the joy that was set before you, Lord. And now, Lord, we can stand pure and holy and upright before you, cleansed by your precious blood. We thank you, Lord, that in your blood is life indeed, that as we partake of this life, that we shall have it in ourselves also, Lord, that we live not longer into ourselves, Lord, but that we have been purchased by your blood, and that we live unto you. And Father, we just pray if there be any part of us which is not in devotion to you, Lord, which is not serving you, Lord, out of an upright heart, if we are giving allegiance to any other thing, Lord, any other thing which takes our time or our devotion, Lord, these things that we have done in dark corners, O God, we renounce them in Jesus' name, Lord. We call the judgment of God down upon them. Our desire is to be pure and holy, Lord, and we have no place with these things, Lord. We call them for what they are. They are sin and they are vile, Lord. Our lying tongue, Lord, and our proud lips, Lord, and our hardening of our heart, Lord, and our stiff neck, O God. We confess our hypocrisies, Lord, and our murmurings and our complainings, O God, and our gossiping, O Jesus, Lord. We are vile, Lord, but by your blood we can stand cleansed and whole before you, Lord. And so by faith, Lord, we take this element, Lord, that we might be truly cleansed. We have confessed with our mouth, Lord. And now we pray that you not only forgive, Lord, but that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, having been judged, Lord, that we might stand before you, Lord, with an upright heart. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we partake together? Praise the Lord. Praise your Lord. Shall we stand? Praise your name, Lord.
Thanks.
Hallelujah. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we give praise unto you. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes.
I'm going to ask our brother Pan Carrick, if he will, to dismiss us in prayer this morning. Amen. God bless everyone.